Since 1889, Pratt Funeral and Cremation Service has been a trusted name in the Richland Center area, providing compassionate care and support for families during difficult times. For assistance, call 608-647-4808. Pratt Funeral and Cremation Service, trusted by the community for over 135 years.
Town Spring Green and the Phoenix Center, family fun at its best. There's always something for everyone, including bowling, legendary pizza, and video games.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. Former FBI Director James Comey in a Virginia federal courtroom this morning. It'll be his first court appearance in the Justice Department case accusing him of lying to Congress. President Trump is suggesting that federal workers furloughed during the shutdown may not get their back pay when the government reopens. Six of the nation's top doctors speaking out against Robert F. Kennedy Jr.'s Department of Health.
For decades, surgeons general have issued warnings to the public on everything from the effects of cigarettes and alcohol to guidance on mental health. Now these former surgeons general, who worked under every Democratic and Republican president since George H.W. Bush, including one appointed by President Trump in his first term, are warning Americans about their own health leaders, saying they felt compelled to speak out because they believe Kennedy is endangering the health of the nation.
ABC senior political correspondent Rachel Scott. Peace talks continuing in Egypt on ending the now two-year-old war in Gaza. This is ABC News. The arrest earlier this year of seven men thought responsible for a series of burglaries of pro athletes' homes has not stopped the break-ins. The latest target, New Orleans Saints' Cam Jordan.
Security footage has led to the arrest of two men accused of burglarizing Cam Jordan's home in Jefferson Parish. Now police investigating about a dozen similar break-ins on pro athletes want to know
whether it's loosely connected or directly connected.
Sheriff Joe Lapinto says
sometimes you have copycats.
He notes that the men accused of breaking into Cam Jordan's home are from Georgia.
I'm sure he'll get his revenge on the playing field when we go back and play Atlanta.
Warrants have been issued for two other suspects. Jim Ryan, ABC News.
Former NFL quarterback Mark Sanchez could be charged with felonies if the truck driver with whom he fought over the weekend needs long-term care.
Aggravated battery is even a more serious charge or crime that could potentially be at play here.
Prosecutor Ryan Mears, Sanchez was stabbed and arrested after an altercation over a parking space in Indianapolis. Sherry Preston, ABC News.
The Phoenix Center has made lunch easy and delicious. Open every day at 11 a.m., they serve a full menu with a strong focus on lunch favorites like burgers, salads, wraps, sandwiches, and signature appetizers. Whether it's a quick bite or dinner with the family, the Phoenix Center delivers even to go. Call 649-7469 for carryout and don't miss their famous pizza, a local favorite in Richland Center. That's the Phoenix Center.
Are you looking for the perfect gift or a little sparkle for yourself? Pam's Fine Jewelry in Spring Green is a full-service jewelry store with a wide variety of styles to fit every occasion. From engagement rings to timeless keepsakes, our friendly and knowledgeable staff is here to help you find something special. Stop by today or give us a call at 588-2134. Pam's Fine Jewelry, where elegance and service shine.
WRCO Hometown Weather Watch is sponsored by the Schultz Mortgage Team. Call 608-738-8765 and learn how to buy a home without needing 20% down.
A high temperature in the low 60s today with sunshine and light winds. Mostly clear and cool tonight. Scattered frost again. Maybe patchy fog. A low of 35. Mostly sunny Thursday and turning a bit warmer and a high of 67. Thursday night clouding over with spotty light showers or sprinkles possible. A low of 46. Friday sprinkles possible early, then breaks of sun and mild. A high of 69. Saturday partly cloudy and a high of 66. Sunday near 70 with a 50% chance of nighttime showers.
The Shoebox was voted Madison's favorite shoe store, and they have what you need for back-to-school shoes. No one has a better selection of shoes than the Shoebox. With all the latest styles for teachers, coaches, and especially the students, the Shoebox is the place to go. They go the extra mile to bring you great service, proper size and fit, all at a great price. The Shoebox opens 7 days a week in Black Earth. Stop by and receive service like it ought to be.
Ready to buy your first home? Let Neighborhood Housing Services of Southwest Wisconsin be your guide. From expert advice and home buyer education to financial support and down payment assistance, we're here to walk with you every step of the way. Don't navigate the process alone. Let us help turn your dream of home ownership into a reality. Call 608-647-4949 today to get started.
Attention farmers and folks in need of quality supplies. Engine Creek Farm Store has got you covered. Located at 11678 Yuba Drive, Hillsboro, Wisconsin, Engine Creek Farm Store is your local oasis for all things farm and machinery supplies. From essential tools to supplies that keep your farm running smoothly, they've got it all. And guess what? Engine Creek Farm Store goes beyond the farm. You can also pick up some rugged clothes and boots for those hardworking days. Give them a call at 608-528-4001.
The Morning Show on WRCO FM 100.9 and WRCO.com, featuring real community conversations that matter to our community. The WRCO Morning Show studio is proudly sponsored by Richland Hospital, caring for the health of our community. Scott Industries, enjoy building strong futures. Osborne Stump Removal, clearing the way for what's next. And Sean's Auto Repair, keeping you on the road with service you can trust. It is our day with community conversation to talk about the Richland School District, and Superintendent Steve Board is in the studio with us for his monthly visit, and he's brought along Sean Josem, Special Ed Director and Pupil Services Director for the Richland District. Good to have you in here, Steve, after a beautiful homecoming last weekend.
Oh, it was absolutely gorgeous. It's but you know, the weather in Wisconsin is very similar to the daily life in a school district, right? You can have 85 degree record setting temperatures on one week, and then you're getting frost warnings the very next week, and things like that can happen throughout the school year as well. Things are going really well, and then things go, you have a few hiccups, and then things go really well again, and it's just kind of the daily life, but it's just what every school district deals with. But it's great to be here, and again, I appreciate you having me on.
Yeah, your sports teams did really well, and I also want to take a moment to mention how much I enjoyed the band's performance at halftime. That was just awesome, wasn't it?
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, it's truly remarkable. All of the work, first of all, that goes into the homecoming week in general, between building administrators and all of the different dress up days. And you think, well, it's a dress up day. How much can that really change the daily life? But it does. It does change how things happen, and it does change the energy level of kids and things like that, and the involvement that we have. But also all of the events that are going on, from athletic events. I mean, you've got volleyball matches and soccer games and football and different levels of football. It's not just the Friday night football. It's the lower level football from 7th and 8th grade to, you know, JV football as well. Our student council at the high school just did a fantastic job. They seemed so organized this year, and that's not to say that past ones haven't been organized, but this one, this group of students really seemed exceptionally organized. I did not hear of any hiccups per se that happened in terms of all of the different events. And we're talking, I mean, if you look at, I don't know if you got a chance to see the class scores, you know, the class wars that they have throughout the week with all the different events that the four grades get scored on. I mean, there's like 25 different events that are going on. So somebody has to plan each and every one of those events, from the float building to, you know, tug of war to dress up days to class contests, things like that. And I guess I just really want to give a shout out to our student council for organizing all of the activities. It went through without a hitch. Our administration was fantastic. And then really to our students, I thought our students as a whole were exceptional in every aspect, from the band performances that you had. Of course, we've got a fantastic band and music program at Richland Center, something that we're truly known for. So it's not just the performances, but all of the work that they're putting in during class. All of the students, I thought, were very energetic this year. I think four or five different adults talked to me during the week and said, you want to know what I think that the difference this year is that students didn't have phones. And so for the first time in several years, our students were engaged in what was going on. They were watching tug of wars. They were cheering for their classmates. They were engaged in the different things as opposed to being buried in their phone. And I know that the students, that was one of their concerns when the cell phone bell-to-bell ban kind of came into play, was that they were like, what about homecoming week? We want our phones to be able to take pictures, right? That was their big concern. And I understand that concern, but I think just in talking to adults and watching the culture in the buildings, especially at the high school this year, we truly had kids engaged in what was going on around them. And that was really one of the ultimate goals. And so I don't want to make this into a cell phone issue, but I really, really felt that that was a real positive, energetic thing that was brought to our students, because they then brought that positive energy, and then that carried over into all of the different things that happened. Were there a few outside groups or student groups that maybe crossed the line a few times? Yeah, that happens every year, and we try to deal with them to the best of our ability. But I don't want to let a handful of 5, 6, 7 students that maybe took some evening shenanigans a little too far to overshadow how great, 1,200 students in our district really were. And that's a tremendous credit to them, their parents, their families, our teachers, our administrators, and everybody that helped pull off a truly, truly great homecoming week. One of the best that I think I ever remember. And of course, we can't control the weather, but the weather was fantastic. The sporting events were fantastic. The involvement was fantastic. Fantastic bonfire, dance, everything was just fantastic. The foundation had the outstanding alumni with Francis Fuzzy Zeller and Philomena Poole. There were more people that attended that event Friday before the football game than I think the last 4 years combined. Just a tremendous turnout, a tremendous crowd for that, and it really felt this year was something special, and I hope that we can continue that.
It was interesting. I had a chance to have a couple of your students on. Kerry Stoltz brought them in last week, a couple of student council members, and I asked him about the cell phone, and they both gave it a thumbs up. They thought it was a good idea, and interesting to hear the student standpoint that they actually.
It's great. The students probably gave the thumbs up behind the microphone where you couldn't really see it. They were probably afraid to put that on the statement. Actually, I've talked to several students, and when I say several, I'm talking about several dozen students, just on their thoughts throughout the school year, and every one of them, without exception, has said, "You know what? It really isn't that bad. I wish we could have it at lunch, but it really isn't that bad." And so I walk around the hallways and I see students with their eyes up. Engaged in lessons, and I see them at lunch conversing and talking, and it's really pretty cool to see. It's also cool to see that other schools are starting to follow suit. I know Ryan Lemke and Liz Perkins mentioned that the other conference schools who were a little reluctant to join forces last spring, every one of them now are looking at ways to implement it this year or the start of next year. So I think this is going to be very common practice across the state.
We passed by the third Friday of the month of September, and enrollment, and how's it looking?
Yeah, I'll tell you, we're excited about the things that are happening in the Richland School District and the enrollment, and I've made no secrets of it. 4 years ago when I took over the superintendent job, that I just put it right out there that we have an open enrollment out problem. We have a declining enrollment. We have higher class numbers in our upper classes than students coming in. There just aren't as many school-age children living in our community more. But then we also have this open enrollment out problem where we had 280 students that were living in our community but choosing to go to school elsewhere. Last year, we had 265 open enrolled out students, and so that was a major focus that we were really focusing on. It was one of the things that drove some of the alternative education options that we have now implemented, and these are unofficial numbers. I'm hoping to lock in the official numbers tonight before our board meeting so I can share them with our board, but our open enrollment out, we got 35 students back this year, and so we're down to 216. Still a significant number, still have a long way to go. State average says that we should be be around 100. So we're still about twice as much as where we should be. But for the first time, truly seeing a significant chunk out of that open enrollment out coming down, right? Going from 251 to 216. That's huge. In addition, when we look at what our enrollment projections are going to be for any given year, we basically figure status quo. Every child that's in our school district stays in our school district. We don't gain any, we don't lose any, with the exception of our graduating class and then our incoming 4K. All right. And so we had projected, just based on the size of our senior class, the class of 2025 last year, and our incoming students coming in, we had projected that we would be down 45 students, okay, a 4K class, 45 students less than that of our senior class, all right? So that's kind of our baseline when we're talking about projections. So anything better than negative 45, right, would be a good thing, okay? Or even at negative 45, it would mean that we maintained our status quo. We actually were plus 15, plus 25. And so we actually had a 70-student swing from what we thought we were going to be to where we ended up. 70 students. I mean, you think about that. That's an entire class of students that we gained back in one summer. And I think, again, that's a tremendous credit to all of the folks that are putting in a lot of work to make the Richland School District really a place where students feel comfortable and they feel welcomed and they feel respected, as well as some of the alternative education options that we have so that students can find a way that they can learn best. And 70 students, that is a financial impact as well, right? I mean, when you're talking, revenues being based on the number of students that we have, you probably heard the city or the county talk about the only way that they can get new revenue is through net new construction, right? Buildings going up minus buildings going down, whatever that net is, that's what theirs is based off of. Ours is based off students. So when we are facing decline in enrollment, our school gets less money to operate with. And so when we're bringing students back and we're doing it to the tune of about 70 students, that is a significant financial impact in a positive way for the rest of our students. So we're excited. We think that the Richland School District is a great place. Again, I've said this before, I support all public education. I think that it's important for families to find the mode of learning that works best for their child. But I think we have a lot of really, really good options, and I know we have a tremendous staff, and I think we've got a very engaged and respected student body as well. And I think that that's made a big difference on why we've been able to make some of these changes.
When you talk about open enrollment, Steve, what qualifies if someone chooses to homeschool? Does that count as somebody switching, from the district, or is it just going to another district in the area?
Yeah. So from our resident count, okay. So the students that we count as school-age children living in our community, homeschooled. If you're a homeschooled child, you are not encountered in that count. So okay. If it's a homeschool child that then chooses to come to the Richland School District, which we got several of them this year, specifically in the Hive program, then they become members, and so we gain that. So certainly some of those 70 are that route, right? That they are students that are living in our community, that maybe were homeschooled, maybe going to a private school, that are now coming to the public school. The open enrolled number would be that it would be somebody living in the Richland School District boundaries, right, whether it's the city of Richland Center or any of the corresponding townships that are part of the Richland School District, that were living there, residing there, but were choosing to go to school to another public school, right, whether it be a neighboring school or an online virtual school or something like that, and those students now coming back to the Richland School District. So there's kind of two different buckets of enrollment that we're talking about, those that we want to retain as many of the students living in our community as possible. We want them coming to the Richland School District, as well as getting those that maybe aren't counted in the count because they're homeschooled or going to a private school, having them choose the Richland School District as an option as well.
You brought Sean Josem along with you today.
I did. Sean has been a member of the Richland School District for 20 plus years, and he's an experienced vet and one of our leaders in the administrative team. And he was reluctant to come, so I kind of forced him. But he's got a wealth of knowledge as it relates to special education and some of those topics.
Good to have you here, Sean.
Well, thank you. Good morning.
Appreciate you coming in. Tell me about your title, Special Ed Director and Director of People Services. What does that entail?
Well, it kind of incorporates a lot of different things. So obviously special ed includes, students with special ed, with special needs, special ed teachers, overseeing special ed aides. But the pupil services piece would include all of our school counselors. It would include our school nurses. It would also include Lisa Goff, our school psychologist.
Okay. One of the things that comes up, the question that comes up is how a student or if a student qualifies for special education. And that's kind of a varied topic, isn't it?
Sure. Yeah. And a special ed student or a student can qualify for special ed in various ways. It first starts with a referral. And a referral can be made by essentially anyone, a parent, a teacher, sometimes a family physician can make the referral. And there are certain criteria that we have to follow according to the Department of Public Instruction. Sometimes it gets a little confusing if you have a doctor who may say a child has, let's say, a learning disability or something like that. And when you get a medical diagnosis, I think it's easy for parents, understandably, to think, well, then that's just an automatic qualification then for an IEP. Well, there's actually a procedure that we have to follow. There's criteria that we have to look at. There's evaluation that the child has to go through for us to, in order to qualify that student. Just not a diagnosis from a medical doctor or a medical field or a psychologist or psychiatrist. It's actually something that we have to do ourselves and make sure the student qualifies.
And so there are some parents probably that are reluctant, you know, and then others that are probably thinking that's the best thing. So
yeah. Yeah, and you know, in special ed, it certainly comes with maybe a stigma at times, but it's really about meeting each student's unique needs so they can learn, they can grow, they can thrive. And all of us learn differently, and sometimes students need just that extra support to have them reach success.
Special education has changed over the years. Like from when I went to school, I mean, it's a whole different ball game now.
It is.
What you have to offer.
It is. You know, I remember back when I was in high school, you know, there was a room, you know, that students went to. And really, we are trying to be more inclusive than, you know, schools used to be back in the 80s and 90s. It's not really a separate setting per se. It's just a variety of supports that we provide. I think it's important too for, you know, to be as inclusive as we can because, you know, it provides empathy, it provides patience for all students. So I think it's important to have that. At the high school, we're doing more and more co-teaching, less pullout. So students are going into classrooms versus being pulled out for their special needs. So yes, I mean, it has changed. I mean, certainly we have room to grow. We have room to grow, but I think we're certainly moving in the right direction in our district.
At the high school, you probably could have a student that's acing, like say math, but maybe struggling in another area.
True. Yeah, that's quite often a misnomer too for special ed because, I mean, you can really have, ultimately, you can have a gifted and talented student in one thing and yet need special education in another. I mean, just a wide variety of needs. But you're right. When a student has a specific learning disability, it means specific. It means either in math and reading and writing. It doesn't mean all areas. So you could certainly have a student that excels in one and not the other.
And especially all ages, when you talk about some of the younger levels, somebody might have maybe some special needs early on in their school career, but that changes as they go along.
Right. I mean, for special ed, it's, you know, it's ages 3 through 21. So we certainly have students who qualify as 3 or 4 year olds for our early childhood or speech and language and ultimately reach the goals and no longer need special ed. So, I mean, that's the ultimate goal, is to provide the students what they need to have success and get them on their way.
The different spectrums of autism, too, that's come into play a lot more. We hear about that a lot more than those, too.
Yeah, we do. I think, you know, like neurodiversity is kind of the big term right now. And really, it just means just a different way of thinking. We can incorporate autism. It can incorporate anxiety, depression. I mean, I think in some ways, all of us are a little neurodiverse. We all learn our different ways, but I would say yes, that's true.
Some other things that you did provide as far as pupil services are concerned, we were talking off the air about homeless students, and I guess maybe we'd be surprised how many there are in the district.
Yeah. I mean, we certainly have a higher percentage than what, you know, folks out there listening would probably think. Yeah, we are a bigger district. I think certainly with COVID kind of increased that a little bit. Lisa Goff is our homeless liaison person. So we actually have a person designated in our district to find those students when they come to us. We also have students who maybe have come from a different district or have stayed with our district and then moved and are still homeless, but they want to still come back to our school district. So there are agreements that we have between school districts to help those homeless students with their education and situations like that.
How do you get homeless students to school?
Well, it's really contingent upon us, whether it's busing or some other mode of transportation. I mean, there shouldn't be any limitations on getting those students enrolled. Once we find out who they are, there really can't be any restrictions to get them in school, whether it's transportation, whether it's fed, anything like that.
Interesting.
Yeah.
We'll come back and talk more about that in a moment after the break. We're talking Richland School District today with Steve Board and Sean Josem, and we'll have more in a moment.
Just out Richland Center sits Chicken Ridge Farm, the pumpkin patch full of fall fun for the whole clan. Youngins can bounce, slide, maze, climb, and splash at the bubble barn. This year, that U-Pick patch is looking prettier than ever. Folks bring wagons, good old shoes to haul their own pumpkins. Or grab one atop the hill. The snack shack's wide open with vittles and drinks. Open Saturdays from 10 to 6 and Sundays from 10 to 4, now through October 26. Follow them signs clear down Chicken Ridge Road to the dead end at 18798 Chicken Ridge Road. That's Chicken Ridge Farms, where fall memories get made.
This is Mark Jelenic of the Pratt Funeral and Cremation Service in Richland Center in Muscadet. We stand ready to help you in planning a final farewell to your loved one that is healing and meaningful. The days following a loss are never easy, but we can all find comfort in knowing we are not alone. A funeral and visitation are a positive contribution to the grieving process, providing a formal time to reflect, love, forgive, and find comfort in our loss.
Family Prescription Center, where your family always comes first.
This is Paul from Prescription Center. For over 40 years, we have been a trusted member of the health care of our community. We've always been here for everyone. From West Seminary Street, where it all started, to the hospital, and now to Saxonville Road, we have provided honest advice, low prices, and with the help of many of our friends, a pay-it-forward account to help those that can't afford their medication. We are humbled by the trust we have earned. We have always made every effort to make pharmacy affordable to all. We accept all insurances because you deserve to have your plan honored. The only area pharmacy to take TRICARE and CHAMP VA. What better way to say thank you to those who served? We thank all for their trust. If you want this type of service, let us be your pharmacy of choice.
Family Prescription Center, where your family always comes first.
At Sunshine and Giggles in Richland Center, kids learn best through play. Their caring team creates a fun, hands-on environment where children from 6 weeks to 12 years old can explore, grow, and thrive. They're now enrolling, so if you're looking for a safe, engaging place where your child can shine, call Sunshine and Giggles at 649-5501 today. Sunshine and Giggles, where learning is always full of smiles.
Are you looking for a meaningful way to give back to your community? Passages is looking for compassionate, motivated volunteers to join our team. We provide men, women, and children survivors of domestic violence and sexual assault with free, confidential services regardless of age, sex, or gender identity. We have a variety of volunteer opportunities available, from yard cleanup, donation sorting and organizing, and fundraising support, to shelter advocacy and survivor support. There are also a couple of larger outdoor projects that would be great for teams. Do you want to share a skill? We're also launching new life skills programming and are seeking volunteers to lead classes such as yoga, sewing, crocheting, cooking, meditation, grounding exercises, and more. Whether you're interested in direct client support or behind-the-scenes help, there's a place for you at Passages. Did you know that every hour you volunteer helps Passages meet its grant match? Learn more by visiting our website at passagesrc.com. and click on the I Want to Help tab. There you will find a list of opportunities and a volunteer application. Join us in making a difference, one life, one step at a time.
Wilkinson Auctions is getting you ready for fall with two sporting goods and firearms auctions. We have a collection of over 40 guns at the Hillsboro Auction Yard on Saturday, October 11th, and over 80 guns at the Muscadet Auction Yard on Friday, October 17th. And we're taking consignments of sporting goods, cars, trucks, UTVs, and more. Two sporting goods auctions, Saturday, October 11th at the Hillsboro Auction Yard, and Friday, October 17th at the Muscadet Auction Yard. More info at WilkinsonAuctions.com.
Many Americans have missed regular dental care in the past few years. It's important to see a dentist twice a year to identify any problems early. Taking care of your oral health helps overall health. Brushing at least twice a day with fluoride toothpaste and flossing daily can help prevent oral health problems. For more information, visit hrsa.gov/oral-health.
I'm Naheem Hines, proud supporter of the Muscular Dystrophy Association. My mom has muscular dystrophy, and the MDA helps her and kids like my buddy Ethan.
My name is Ethan, and I'm 12 years old. Thanks to the Muscular Dystrophy Association and people like you, I have more hope than ever before. And MDA funds over 150 care centers for kids like me.
For over 70 years, MDA has been transforming the lives of people living with muscular dystrophy, ALS, and related neuromuscular diseases. Learn more at MDA.org today.
Welcome back to our morning show time on WRCO. We're talking about the Richland School District. And Steve, we're getting into the month of October. This is kind of where you really hit the ground running and dig in the school days, don't you?
Yeah, it really is. This is what I would call our first of our two real grinds, right, that the school district has, or that all schools have, right, from the time after homecoming. And so ours happened, of course, last week. For some schools, it happened 2 weeks ago. And for others, it might be going on this week or even next. But from that time until Thanksgiving, right? That's a grind for students. They're really, you know, honing in, and staff too, for that matter, really honing in on their craft in the classroom, really getting into their curriculum, and really a lot of learning takes place. And then there's a little bit of it's not like schools just take off from Thanksgiving to Christmas, but it feels like it's a short run from Thanksgiving to Christmas. Most students can manage that, right? And then when you come back after the first of the year, there's a short run from January 2nd, 3rd, whatever the day is they come back, until the end of the semester around January 20th. So you got a couple of short runs there. And then that's where really when the second grind starts from mid-January until spring break, especially on years where you don't get a lot of snow days, right? And I know that there's school districts around the state that go to virtual days on snow days, you know, and I've never been a big proponent of that unless you just have a crazy abnormal winter, because I do think it's important for students to just get a snow day, right? And be able to go out and enjoy the weather and the snow. And if you're stuck doing school virtually, not only do you have accessibility problems, but I think that can be tough on students. So obviously sometimes you have to think about that if you just get a lot of snow days. But that second grind can get broken up, I guess is my point. But this grind here from now until Thanksgiving, unlikely that we're going to have a lot of snow days. There's not a lot of scheduled days off. Our calendar with the early outs on Wednesday don't provide a lot of teacher in-service days, and so students typically would get in-service days off. So it's basically every day from now until Thanksgiving coming to school, with the exception of our parent-teacher conferences coming up on the 22nd. So students and staff will have to be locked in and ready to go for this first grind, but it's also a time when there's a lot of improvement that can be made, and a lot of good friendships that are made, and a lot of good, cool, exciting things in the classroom and in extracurricular activities that take place as well.
As fast as the first month or so has gone, you know, boy, Thanksgiving will be here before we know it, basically.
It will be, you know, and I was just over the weekend, I was curious to see, like, what's the average first snowfall in Wisconsin? It's October 28th. And so to think that, you know, we're on October 8th now. So within 20 days, within average, we're going to have snow. And that's crazy to think, especially with the week that we had last week. Hopefully we get a little later snow. I mean, I love snow and I'd love to be outside. it, and but I like it in moderation, right?
Yes, it's like, exactly.
I don't want to get 12 inches on one day or over the course of a couple of days, and then not have any for 2 months. I just nice moderation, but it won't be long, really. The evenings are getting cooler, and again, before the end of the month, we'll be probably likely having some snow in the air. And it might not stick, but snow in the air, and Halloween, and you know, then you're into November, and then you've got a couple weeks before Thanksgiving, and it really will be here before you know it.
Yeah, you call me from time to time when you have bad weather, but you didn't call me that much the last couple of years.
We didn't, I guess. John Bosworth has kind of taken over that role, but we've been fortunate the last couple of years, just been the right amount. Of course, you know, 3 or 4 years ago, it seemed like we just got hammered with snow and ice, you know, and all of those things in the winter that we're just calling and having delays. But the average school year, we tend to have about 3 delays or early outs and about 3 or 4 snow days. That's kind of a typical year. That's kind of what we build our calendar around, maybe have an extra day of I don't want to say fluff, but an extra day of learning opportunities there should we have an extra one. But more than that, and we probably got to look at ways to be making it up, and less than that, and you know, it can be problematic for kids because then they're into that grind every single day, but they also get a lot of good continuity in learning.
The annual meeting is coming up for the district, isn't it?
Yes. Every school district, public school in Wisconsin, is required to have an annual meeting sometime between July 1st and October 31st. Okay. And so ours is scheduled for October 20th. The annual meeting, Phil, is a unique meeting. It's not a meeting of the school board. It's actually a meeting of the stakeholders of the school district. So all community members, if they're a resident of the Richland School District, are invited to not only attend but participate in the annual meeting. And so there's a variety of things that by state statutes take place at the annual meeting that have to take place, and resolutions that are set forth by the tax holders. First of all, our annual meeting it starts at 6:30. Okay, so that's something that can't be changed. That's set by last year's annual meeting. One of the last agenda items that is at each annual meeting is to set the date and time and location for the next annual meeting. So that's locked in. It's on Monday, October 20th, starting at 6:30 in the Richland Center High School IMC, where our traditional meetings are at. I will call the meeting to order, and the first thing that will need to happen is that the stakeholders, the folks that are there, will need to elect a chairperson to run the meeting. Oftentimes, it's our school board president, but it doesn't have to be. It could be any resident of the Richland School District that is nominated and accepts that nomination and is voted on. But again, oftentimes, it's our school board president. But it's not a meeting of our school board. And then we will go through, there's some general district reports as it just general highlights of what happened in our district in the 24-25, kind of a recap, if you will, as well as a budget presentation. And that's the official budget presentation by our business office, our business official, John Bosworth. There's budget publications that will be coming out in the Richland Observer and posting in some public places. There's a budget presentation. And then, again, by law, there's the opening of the budget hearing. And so they will actually have a public hearing where the public can ask questions on our school district budget and get answers from our business official or from business administration. There's no action that takes place. It's just a hearing, not just. It's a very valuable part and a way for our community to be informed. And then they close the hearing. And then there's a variety of resolutions that take place, very formal, a very informal process, but formal in terms of that they need to be done. One of those things, as I mentioned, is setting the date of the annual meeting for next year, right? One of them is salaries of school board members. One of them is the debt, taking out enough debt enough payments to pay for our debt payments for next year. And then it's wrapped up. Usually it's about a half hour meeting, but it is a very informative meeting. Sometimes I think we get kind of in a routine and it's just kind of, there aren't a lot of people who attend, but I do think it's an important meeting for people to attend, to be aware of. And so again, that's on the 20th at 6:30. And then because the public doesn't necessarily take action on the budget, okay, they get to have their voice heard, they get to hear the budget, and then they get to have their voice heard through this hearing, the school board has to officially, some at some point after the annual meeting, but before November 1st, by law, they have to adopt the budget for the 25-26 school year. And so all those things that we've talked about the last couple of times when it comes to our third Friday counts, our enrollment numbers, equalized aid, all of those things will now be finalized. The last component that we're waiting for, all school districts are waiting for, is the aid, the amount of money that the state offsets school districts from their property taxes that the state pays. It's called equalized aid. It equalizes the tax burden across the state so that school districts in very wealthy, affluent communities aren't paying more or less of their share than someone who's in a very rural area and maybe less populated. So that's the equalized aid. That'll come out on October 15th. That'll be presented at the annual meeting. And then on the 29th, it's a regular school board meeting, but one of the components that will take place on our regular school board meeting on October 29th is the adoption of the budget. And that is when our 25-26 budget becomes official and it's locked in. Now, there's still opportunities to make revisions to that. There's steps that have to happen if that takes place. But that's when we'll be setting the levy. That's important because after the school district sets the levy, then that gets submitted to the municipalities, and then that's a portion of that that gets collected on everyone's property tax bills when they come out in December. Of course, every property tax bill has, you know, not only the municipality that you're in, but it has a line item for the Richland School District, it has a line item for Southwest Tech, it has a line item for the county, and again, as well as the municipality. But that line item for the school district will be a direct result of what takes place and is heard at the annual meeting on the 20th and then takes place on the 29th. I will warn people, and again, this is not a political, I'm not on either side of the political spectrum. One side of the political parties at the state level has added more money to the revenue limit, $325 per student, okay? So that increases the amount of money that the school districts get, okay, and have to collect. The other political party then said, well, if you're going to add money, then we're going to take that away from equalized aid. And so I just read here this week that 2/3 of the school districts in the state of Wisconsin will receive less aid than they had in the past. Okay, so that means that while school districts have the exact same amount of money to operate with, and regardless of the aid, there will be a greater tax burden on our local taxpayers than there was in the past, because our aid will go down. That means the rest of that levy has to go on to our tax payers. And so it's likely that taxes will go up slightly from that, right? Not necessarily that our levy is that much higher. We're not collecting any more money, but because we don't have that equalized aid. And again, we won't know that for sure until October 15th. I'm just kind of putting that out there because all signs are pointing towards most school districts having less aid this year than they've had in the past as a result of some political gamesmanship going on in Madison. So
we talked about it before the most recent state budget as well, about they have upped the money that they give for special education, but obviously it still falls a little bit short, doesn't it?
It does. Sean, do you know the exact percentage for this year, or rough percentage for this year?
Yeah, 30-some percent.
Yeah, 38. I think it goes up to maybe just under 40, but you think mm-hmm. about that. Don't get me wrong. It's a welcome addition, right? And So we're not trying to look to get a gift horse in the mouth here, school districts, by getting additional money. But you think about that. If a student is coming to our district and needs services, as Sean alluded to, and we want to provide the services that they need in order to receive a free and appropriate public education, FAPE, that's what our job is. If that requires us to pay, let's just say $50,000, whether it's in the form of a device, maybe they're visually impaired or hearing impaired or whatever, or perhaps a one-to-one aid for them to have services that way. If that costs us $50,000, we're going to get $40,000, or we're going to get 40% of that back, right? But 40% is not 100%. And so every time that we have students with special needs that were required not only by law, but we want to provide them with the services that they need, that's an expense to the school district that gets not even halfway reimbursed by the state. And that's something to me that I know Wisconsin is lacking a lot of the other states in terms of special ed reimbursement rate. It is something that they raised, okay, but it's just a far cry from what is actually being spent in school districts. And again, this is not a political agenda or anything like that. It saddens me that schools want to provide the services to a student with a disability, and we do, and we're required to by law, and we do provide those services. And then the state will say, "Okay, you cost you $100,000. We're going to give you $40,000 back. That's a $60,000 gap, and that's a significant a gap. But it is increased, and we are moving in the right direction. So I'm thankful for that.
You've actually helped out the district with some of your alternative education opportunities. I know the facility in Rockbridge, you've been gaining from some other area districts, haven't you?
Yes, we have. So we don't count the students with the iThrive, the program going on at Rockbridge. Again, this was an alternative program that we have started because of the lack of ability for students of these types to be able to get into other areas. Okay, I know Sean can speak. We've reached out to other districts, or not other districts, but other programs, and some of them have up to a two-year waiting list for these students to get the services that they need when a school district doesn't have the resources to be able to accommodate them. And so the iThrive Academy going on at Rockbridge, it's been a huge success. We've got wonderful, wonderful staff. Many of them have come over from what was formerly known as Motivate over in Reedsburg, and they're highly trained, highly qualified to work with very specific need students. Okay, sometimes it's autism. Many times it's autism, but not always. So we have a couple of our resident students that are out there, but we also have entered into what's called an interagency agreement, a 660301 agreement with other school districts. And so if a neighboring school district has a child that they're sending to the iThrive Academy, we don't count them as our member in our enrollment count. They're still that neighboring school district's resident. They count them, but then they pay us to be able to provide the services for them. And we're set up in a way that we can get some Medicaid reimbursement, and then we charge the school tuition. And again, it all comes down to the staff. A program like that doesn't work well without the staff that we have. So I believe we have 7 students that are out there right now. Our goal the first year was 3 or 4, so we've doubled that. We're going to get to a point where we are reaching our maximum physical capacity. So we're examining what else can we do? How can we make this? There's clearly a need. We anticipate continuing to get phone calls weekly, if not more frequently, from area school districts, as they've now had an opportunity to spend 4, 5, 6 weeks with students and understanding that there may be some students that they don't have the tools to be able to provide them the right resources. iThrive might be a good alternative for them. But we have to have the staffing, we have to have the space, and so we're examining all of those routes as well. But to your point, it's just one of the things that we've tried to do to provide a service, not only for our students, but for area students as well, to make sure that all students find a way that they can learn best.
Sean, how do you feel that the iThrive Academy is going?
Well, I think it's going great. I think each student is unique in their own right. Each student has their own journey that they have to go through. And I say, we certainly try to collaborate with parents as much as we can. I mean, obviously they're their first and primary advocate, but we certainly try to work with them. And what we found over the years is, not every student can learn within the typical brick and mortar building. And so I think the district has done an exceptional job, I think, as far as creating these other alternative type programs, and iThrive is one of them. Like kind of Steve alluded to, over the last couple years, we found out that just some students, not only in our district, but statewide, just need additional supports that you typically can't provide in your own resident district. So we've had to send students to, let's say, Prairie du Chien or Madison, and that's not really conducive to their learning. Who wants to ride on the bus or in a van for an additional 2 hours a day? I mean, that's not ideal. So I think through the last couple of years, we did some brainstorming. It's like, how can we provide something like that in our district? Why can't we? And I think we are. And then, like Steve said, it's doubled in the original size that we wanted. And I think the potential for growth is there. We actually have probably have students on waiting lists from other districts because I think the word has spread that we're providing a great learning experience for those students, not only academically, but social-wise, social-emotional, their mental health. I think it's a great learning environment.
And for other districts, too, they're actually, I'm sure, saving money by, you know, maybe one less driver or, you know, miles yep. or whatever the case might
yeah.
be.
Yeah, that's a fair statement. And kind of getting back to what Steve said, I think there's a misperception out there sometimes that, you know, we receive funding for each student that we have, but special ed students quite often, because of their exceptional needs, have higher costs. So, and it's not even close to what we get, you know. And so I think districts are trying to be more creative on how they can use their limited resources, monetarily, primarily, in providing an education for their students. And I think this is one of those.
Could you talk on your staff? Because I know you've got a stellar staff that works for the district.
Yeah, we do. I think we have close to, 20-ish special ed teachers and 25, 26 paraprofessionals across the district. Just each day providing services to each student to assist them in meeting their unique needs. Collaborating with parents. We collaborate with outside agencies, whether that be from the county or private practice counselors. It's really a team approach and trying to provide the best opportunity for our kids that we can.
Do you work with community resources and, you know, like health and human services and yep. agencies like that?
Yep. Yeah, we actually provide teletherapy from outside agencies. We have agreements with them. Certainly our county folks come in and work as a wraparound with some of our families that have higher needs. It's, you know, as they say, it takes a village. I mean, we can't do it on our own. We certainly try to do a team approach. I know sometimes at the beginning it can be kind of adversarial sometimes with parents, you know, but I think they understand that our heart's in the right place. We are certainly trying to provide the best experience that we can for their child. And the whole special ed piece can be kind of a nerve-wracking process, from the referral to being in special ed, you know, being in one of those classrooms. So I think it does take a village, and all of us are in it for the right reasons.
The changes that we've seen or you've seen during your years as an educator, we can only guess where it will be in the next 10
right.
years and probably hopefully for the better, right?
Right. I would agree with that.
Yeah. Steve, anything you want to add today?
No, I think we've talked about some really good things. I'll just emphasize again, you've mentioned, you know, staff with not only spec ed, but we've mentioned it with the homecoming festivities. We have an outstanding staff. I mean, it is really, really top notch. I will put our staff up against any school district's staff. And I know everybody's got their rock stars, but I'll tell you, we are so fortunate. Sean and I get to, work with these folks daily, right? The folks that are in the classrooms, the paraprofessionals, the custodial crews, the food service, the IT, our nursing, counseling. I mean, I'm probably missing people, but I know this sounds a little cliche, but they are truly, truly top notch. We have made leaps and bounds, strides in hiring some just outstanding folks that have been part of the Richland School District and have immediately brought positive energy and positive culture and good student relationships and experience right off the bat. And I just am so proud of the staff that we have, and I'm just so fortunate that we get an opportunity to help lead people who are so willing to make positive change. And it's truly, truly a blessing.
You were a part of the community forum last week as well. Any questions from the community come up or anything like that?
The school district didn't have any real big contentious topics right now. Not that there were any contentious. I just think it's so wonderful for those folks to be able to get on stage and provide an opportunity for people who are wanting to learn the correct information, to be able to have an opportunity to ask questions instead of getting their information from sources that are not as reliable. Whether it's through gossip or whether it's through social media or whatever that might be, coming right to the source. And so having the school district, folks from Simons, Mike Hart, party. Bruce Raisler joined from the hospital, county representatives, city representatives. I just think it's great because in the end, all those folks at the table, we're all in it for the same reasons, and that's to try to make our community and the people who live and work in our community or go to school in our community have a place that they're proud of, right? And whether it's health services at the hospital, educational services through the school district, housing, residency, whatever that might be, we're all facing the same issues. And so for us to be able to all be up there because, and it's not just a front, okay? I truly have great relationships with Mike Hardy and Bruce Raisler and Mayor Coppernall and Trish Clemens and Ashley Oliphant and all of these folks that are in leadership roles in these positions, I have a great relationship with. I consider them personal and professional friends that I collaborate with. And so the school district and all of those entities truly are working together for the betterment of our community. And so I think it's great to see in that community forum. I think it's great that we continue to get good turnout. I think we were, I don't have the official numbers, but I would guess there were between 80 and 90 folks that attended that night. And for them to be able to ask questions, genuine questions from the people who are most adept at being able to answer them. Did the school district get specific questions? No, not at this particular one. But again, if anybody has any questions, I always encourage them to reach out to myself if there's a school district question or any of the folks that were at the community forum to be able to get their answers, because I think it's so important for our community members to be informed and to get the correct information and then to be able to make decisions based off of that as opposed to getting their information secondhand.
Parent-teacher conferences are coming up soon too, aren't they?
They are. Speaking of collaboration, and Sean mentioned it does take a village and it does require good collaboration from the school district and the parents. And so parent-teacher conferences are really a good way for parents to get a check-in with their child's teacher or teachers. And attend and they should attend, right? This should be something that parents want to attend. And it's not, they're getting decent grades and I haven't gotten any calls from the school district, therefore I don't have to attend. No, you should still attend, okay? Every parent should make it a goal to go and check in with their teacher, their child's teachers, and see how are they doing? What are their strengths? What are their weaknesses? Do you have any suggestions? And whether it's the high school where it's the grade 7 through 12, where it's not necessarily by appointment, they can come in and they can just go seek because those students have multiple teachers. Go in and talk to the teachers. If you see, just check in and say, are they doing well? Are they collaborating well? Are they in a good learning environment? Or if it's at the elementary level where it is a little bit more by appointment because students tend to have, you know, one teacher for grade 3 or whatever it might be. But I would encourage all teachers or all students, parents, to come to these parent-teacher conferences, talk to the teachers, spend 5, 10, 15 minutes, even just to put a name to a face and get to meet them. So it's 11 to 7. This is something new that we've tried this year, starting it earlier in the day for those folks who might work a second shift or aren't able to make it in the evening hours. So it starts at 11 a.m., goes till 7 p.m. on Wednesday, October 22nd at all of our buildings. And again, highly encourage parents to participate in that.
Those were deep, dark days for me when my parents went to parent-teacher.
You and me both, Phil.
When they found out what was really going on.
We were just waiting on the couch reluctantly for parents to come home
yes.
to see if they found out what we really were doing.
Exactly. We know students are much better than
they are much so, better
much
than
better.
We are.
Sean, thanks for coming in. How many years have you been with the district?
23.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. Keep up the good work.
Yeah, thank you.
Sean Josem joining us, Special Ed Director and People Services Director, and Steve Board, Superintendent. You'll be back next month, Steve.
I will be back next month. Sean always tells me that when he first came to the district, one of the first things he did was attend a girls' basketball game. So he and I have had a connection right from the beginning.
There you go.
Yeah, that was awesome.
Back in the day.
But I look forward to coming back. Thank
Sounds
you
good.
For having me.
See you soon.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility, he knows keeping the line up and running is a top priority. That's why he chooses Grainger. Because when a drive belt gets damaged, Grainger makes it easy to find the exact specs for the replacement product he needs. And next day delivery helps ensure he'll have everything in place and running like clockwork. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hello everyone, Brian from Walsh's. We are having our annual Milwaukee Day sale on Thursday, October 9th from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. at our Richland Center location only. Buy select Milwaukee tools and receive special free items. Pick up an M18 compact brushless two-tool combo kit or an M18 fuel 14-inch top handle chainsaw and get a free M18 red lithium battery. Plus, M12 heated gear is now available at our new lower price. These deals are only available Thursday, October 9th, and refreshments will be served to all attendees. Please don't miss this, and as always, we appreciate your business.
Looking for a career where tradition meets opportunity? Join the legacy at Scott Industries, a proud family-owned business celebrating 75 years. They're expanding and hiring dedicated team members. No experience necessary. Just bring your enthusiasm. Enjoy competitive wages, benefits, and a $3 per hour night shift bonus. Apply in person Monday through Friday, 9 to 3 at 810 East Nebraska Street in Muscatine, or call 739-3171 to learn more. Scott Industries, a profit-sharing company where you can grow your career.
Fall season is here. Time to think about getting your car ready for winter. When was the last time you had your coolant checked or flushed, got a tune-up, or checked your tires or alignment? Hi, this is Sean from Sean's Auto Repair and Performance. Stop and see us for all your fall service needs. Whether it's cars, trucks, or SUVs, you'll get courteous, quality, professional service for imports and domestics. Call 608-649-AUTO. That's 649-2886. Sean's Auto Repair and Performance, 184 East Mill Street in downtown Richland Center. People who care about your car.
The Richland Hospital and Clinics is proud to offer personalized support for people with diabetes. Our team can help you set and track your health goals, practice fitting diabetes care into all parts of your life, and learn the knowledge, skills, and tools that will allow you to manage your care. Whether you are newly diagnosed or have been living with diabetes for years, we can help. Our services are covered by most insurance companies. Just ask to meet with a member of our Diabetes Education and Care team.
WCCU Credit Union's Fall Shred event is on Saturday, October 18th. This is a great time to safely dispose of your confidential documents while helping our communities. WCCU Shredding event is open to everyone. New hats and mittens or free will donations will be accepted at the event to help local organizations in need. Bring us your tax returns, medical records, pay stubs, old checkbooks, junk mail, and any other documents with personal information. The on-site shredding truck will be located in our Viroqua, Baraboo, and Richland Center parking lots